Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode number 45. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks so much for joining us this week. As I mentioned last week, I was super inspired to get into talking about Linux distributions, software, hardware, anything open source related again. And my plans for this episode took a giant right turn as I was not feeling well for most of the week. So what I decided to do for this episode is talk to you today about some things that I find very exciting about Linux. So today I'd like to talk about my top five favorite Linux distributions and why they keep me excited about Linux, even after all these years, since I've been using Linux since 2009. So here we go, my top five favorite exciting Linux distributions and why I think it's important for anybody who's trying Linux for the first time to take a look at some of these projects. So starting with number five, where I started with Linux was with Ubuntu. Now, even after all of this time, Ubuntu has a special place in my heart because it's what got me introduced to Linux for the very first time. Now, Ubuntu, being run by a business called Canonical, has been around since 2004 and has become a tremendously powerful tool that is easy to use and easy to install and has a vast amount of software available to users. If you've never used Linux before, Ubuntu is a great place to start by taking an old computer and giving it new life. Many of the day-to-day tasks that you do on Windows or Mac can be done on Linux fairly easily. You might have to consider using alternatives to the software that you use every day, and most of those alternatives are free in Linux. Ubuntu does a pretty good job of being stable and secure, but at the same time giving you freedom to install the software that you want to use on a regular basis and create a system that should last for years without having to do much in the way of optimizing your system. It comes in two variants. One's a long-term release and one that is released every 6 months. Basically, the long-term release you can install on a computer and it's supported for 5 years. And if you'd like to try the newer, latest, and greatest, you can install the six-month cycle and you can upgrade as you go to get some of the newer features. Ubuntu is such a powerful tool, not only on the desktop frame of mind, but it also comes available as just a server operating system. And I have built several Ubuntu servers over the last several years that have all been rock solid and never really had many issues with Ubuntu other than just briefly having to learn something new occasionally that I was unaware of, jumping to online forums and communities to figure out issues with drivers like Wi-Fi drivers and things like that, that most of the time work well out of the box now. That was much different when I started using Linux 8 years ago. And many of the more modern Linux distributions are working quite well after the first install. You don't have to worry about drivers for Ethernet or Wi-Fi, etc. One of the things I love about Linux. And with Ubuntu, it's so popular that people are actually taking the core of Ubuntu and making derivatives or other flavors of Linux or Ubuntu to fit specific needs. Sometimes that could be as simple as creating a custom theme or changing it for business use, personal use, making new Linux distributions, changing what they may or may not have liked about Ubuntu to suit their needs. And that's one of the great things about Linux is it's so customizable. You basically, if you know what you're doing, you can do pretty much anything that you'd like to. So it really makes Ubuntu a super powerful tool because it's solid, it's secure, and many people choose to make derivative works from it. Now, there are probably some Linux gurus out there that have opposing thoughts on Ubuntu. Some people like it, some people don't. But one of the things that gets me excited about Ubuntu is all of the things that they continually try to do to provide an experience for their end users. Now, some people, they would just want to stick with desktop use on laptops and other computers. And Ubuntu has spread its wings a little bit, trying to get into the mobile market, working on Ubuntu Touch, bringing Linux to smartphones and tablets. Some feel that they may have abandoned the desktop operating system, and I can certainly see in ways that they have done that. But still, over the last few years, they've done some pretty exciting things that nobody really has done. And I think as you watch, hopefully over the next few years, the fruits of their labor will come back on the Linux desktop and improve that to something we haven't seen before. And it's pretty exciting for me to watch this happen at a slow, steady pace of incremental improvements. And I can appreciate that. So that leaves me still excited today about learning with Ubuntu and the uses of Ubuntu, derivatives like Linux Mint and Ubuntu Mate and Ubuntu Studio, which I use for this podcast, along with other things that have come out over the last few years. Everybody's got a differing opinion on what they think Linux should be. And that's the best part about Linux is no matter where you go, you can find something new and learn about something new, which leads me on to number 4 of my top 5 favorite Linux distributions that give me something exciting to talk about. So as I went from starting with Ubuntu and wanting to learn more about Linux, I started learning about other distributions and the types of package managers that are out there in the world. And I really wanted to take a look at Fedora. So around Fedora 11 or 12, I took a look at Fedora and I didn't really care for what it had to offer. I didn't really care for the software availability. I didn't really care for the way it looked or the way it performed. And so I sort of put it on the back burner for a long time. And then around Fedora 18, 19, I really saw their vision coming into fruition. And their vision really took hold with me around Fedora 21. And I had Fedora running on a couple of different machines, including my Chromebook at one point in time. And it really worked great. And one of the things that got me excited about Fedora was that it was based off of Red Hat Linux. And Red Hat sort of had a few different testing grounds, so to speak, when they wanted to test new products. And Fedora was their bleeding edge Linux distribution where they tried new things that eventually got put into Red Hat Linux and Red Hat Enterprise Linux for business use. Now, from what I can gather, it's not so much the case anymore, but Fedora has really become a really popular Linux distribution. It has been for a long time. And just like Ubuntu, there are various uses for it. You can build a workstation for everyday work. You can also build a server edition as well. And basically, the differences between Ubuntu and Fedora, there are many differences, but the biggest difference is the package manager and how you install software. And really, when it comes down to it, all Linux distributions are practically the same. Some have different desktop environments, the way that they look, the way that they interact with you. Others have different themes. Some have different package managers, the ways that you would install software. And it's all a learning process and really what you prefer. That to me is another great reason to use Linux. You get what you want, not what a company wants you to have. So with Microsoft and Apple, you're given what they expect you as a end user to use. With Linux, it's not the case. You can customize Linux to suit your needs. And as you learn and maybe test a little bit, you can sort of find something that you're going to want to use for years to come. And everybody has their own opinion. And that, again, that's what's great about the Linux community, is differing opinions. Everybody believes in one thing that they think should be the right course of action. And ultimately, what they want is a better computing experience for everyone. So there are wide ranges of Linux distributions out there that you can try based on what you think should or should not be a feature in an operating system. Sort of like politics. You know, with politics, everyone has their own opinion on what's right or what's wrong, what they believe in, what they don't want to see happen in their local governments or federal governments. But in most cases, we all want to succeed. We all want our countries and the world to become a better place. And I really see the relation to that with the Linux community. There's strong opinions that are out there. And I think that's really a good thing, ultimately. So going on now, I want to talk about my number three pick, what gets me really excited about Linux. Now, this is a more recent find for me within the last few months. This project, in my opinion, is the best combination of the open source philosophy and open source communities coming together to create a product that best serves an end user. And I'm talking about the Solus project. And Solus is an operating system that is designed for a modern experience on modern devices, but it keeps the end user in mind. It's focused on being simple and elegant, but gives you the flexibility to make it whatever you want to. Now, I've been following Solus for the last several months on social media, and I can see from a daily perspective, a weekly perspective, a monthly perspective, their vision coming into the light. I had Solus running on my Chromebook for a long time, really enjoyed using it. It was stable and it was beautiful in terms of how it looked and how it performed. And what I really like about Solus is the fact that all of the applications that are available are optimized to run well with Solus to give you a better experience. So with Solus, I found that there is in some cases, a limited availability of software. So if you're looking for wide, vast ranges of software, Solus really might not be for you. However, most of the software that I use is available. And there was only a few things that were stopping me from installing Solus on all of my machines. Most of that had to do with software availability and other small items that I just found that were necessary that I didn't have access to. But I really love and really get excited about the Solus project because of the elegance behind it. It, to me, is one of the most perfect Linux distributions out there today, and highly encourage anybody to try that out. Moving along to my number two pick now. This pick goes along with various other things that I've been talking about over the last few weeks and months, such as Android x86 or Remix OS. And I mentioned this back probably episode 13 of this podcast. I mentioned Cloud Ready, made by Neverware. Cloud Ready is the Linux-based Chrome OS alternative It's also based off of Chromium OS. And I really get excited about this project because anybody out there who has a spare computer that wants to try something new such as Chrome OS can do this by trying Cloud Ready and installing it on your computer. And you have access to the Chrome Web Store and you have access to anything as you would if you had a Chromebook purchased from a store. And this is really great for students who are maybe participating in schools that are rolling out Chromebooks and they haven't received their Chromebook yet. If they want to jump on board and get ahead of the game, they could try Cloud Ready. And I approached Neverware with this very topic, and their pricing for schools and business is really reasonable. So schools could take old computers and re-image them to Cloud Ready computers to let students use these computers in a school. We could take an old mobile computer lab, 30 or 40 laptops, and change it into a Cloud Ready mobile lab. And it's really great. And as I mentioned, pricing isn't really that bad for support from Neverware. So these little projects, creating useful, meaningful resources for anyone with a specific need, gets me excited. Cloud Ready is just one of many projects that are open source based or even Linux based that really push us all forward and get us trying new things that aren't proprietary and aren't run by big business. And even today, I get excited about small projects like this. And it makes me want to spread the word. It makes me want to get students using open source software and Linux. It makes me want to get my family and staff members using Linux. Really, it's just there are so many things out there that are created for users rather than created to make money. Lastly, moving on to number one, my number one Linux distro that gets me excited to talk about Linux. After moving through Ubuntu and Fedora and distro hopping, probably tens or if not hundreds of different Linux distributions, the one that gets me most excited is Arch Linux. Because it is based off a simple premise of keeping it simple and giving you a base OS to do whatever you want to with. And it's up to you to read the documentation and to learn how to use the operating system, to learn how to build it from its base up to whatever it is that you want. Install the software you want to use and only the software you want to use. No bloatware, which is typical for most Linux distributions, no bloatware. But in this case, you know what's on your system. You know exactly what you have and nothing else. The software is bleeding edge software, brand new software released daily. You get the current, most up-to-date softwares, whereas something like Ubuntu is a little bit more static and takes a little longer for the software to update. More stable sometimes, but in Arch Linux situation, if you know what you're doing and you're watching the updates, you can have an Arch Linux system running for years without any problems. And all the other derivatives of Arch Linux also get me excited. I didn't start straight with Arch Linux. I started with Manjaro and learned the package manager. Manjaro is really easy to install. I learned the package manager and learned how to use Arch and ran Manjaro for a little while before trying Arch in a virtual machine and failing terribly, and then trying Arch Linux on actual hardware and succeeding and getting it to install correctly and have it up and running, and it lasted forever. And shortly after maybe a year and a half, I then wanted to try new things, so I took a look at Antergos, which is also Arch-based, but without the difficult install. And Antergos I had installed at one point in time on all of my machines. That's how excited I got about it. It was exactly the Linux distro for me. So just as I mentioned with Linux distributions, there are so many beliefs out there that of what is the best, which way should Linux go. And we're all entitled to our opinions, and searching around and finding which one works best for you on the hardware that you have may take some time. But if you really start to learn what it is that you expect from Linux, many users who do this find that they were missing out for so long if they were stuck on Windows or Mac. And they really find that it is very powerful, it is very secure, and it's a whole lot of fun to use. And I encourage anyone out there listening who's never tried Linux before to give it a shot. If you've got any questions, you can send me an email, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. And lastly, one last thing to talk about. I have an app pick for you. And earlier I mentioned that with all of our varying opinions in the Linux community, I compared it to a lot like politics. And especially in my country at this point in time, there are so many different opinions on what is the right path for success for our country, and I don't want to get into those. But if you're interested in bettering or staying on top of the current issues happening right now, which honestly I wasn't all that interested in before, but seeing all the changes that are being made now, a way to stay on top of what's being voted on or what's being discussed in federal government is by using the Countable app. And this is for iOS or Android. And the Countable app basically is makes your government made simple. And the Countable app is one clear and concise summary of everything going through Congress right now. And it enables you to take some action. You can contact your representatives. You can tell them how you feel through email or video messages. And you can basically make our democracy more responsive. You can interact with your local representatives and really make a difference. You can vote how you feel, yes or no, on certain topics. And if you're interested in that, give it a shot. Tell me what you think. That is the Countable app. That's going to do it for this week's episode. This is actually take two of this episode. I had some recording issues with the first take, but I think we got them resolved now. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you check out all the other great shows on the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network over at www.podnuts.com. And you can also check out anything that I'm doing currently over on the YouTube channel. Just search for MRP Tech and you'll see the MRP Tech Reviews channel over on YouTube. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.